His mercy endures forever. Father, thank you for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, strengthen us, overwhelm us with your presence and peace. And thank you for your Lordship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Glad to see you here. Keep us in our ministration and prayer. We're putting great plans together, hopefully for the fall, for ministries and whatnot. And so really pleased with that. All right. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. Then I'm going to move quickly to Ephesians chapter 4, because I really want you to get this. I believe that tonight's lesson will educate and embrace something that we have not had previously. And so one of the things that I want to look at is this powerful prayer of Paul. Paul prayed in Colossians 1:9 on. He prayed in Philippians. He prays in Ephesians. And so his prayers are very, very meaningful. That is, when you look at chapter 1 of Ephesians, and we're not going to stay here, Paul says, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God, notice his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom. That's applied knowledge and the revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, let me stop because this is so meaningful. Paul is not praying for a new house and a new car and new clothes, his health and strength. He's praying that they would be tuned in to what God wants. This is so critical. And the reason it's critical is because God's going to honor his will. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, be, amen. It goes on to talk about the perfect will of God. That word perfect, we're going to deal with that as teleos, complete. God wants you to be furnished with his complete will. And it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or test what is the will of God. And so there's this major emphasis on us knowing God's will. There is a philema and a bolema in the Greek. And one has to do with his divine will, another has to do with his specific will for your life. Now look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of this calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So that is a scripture that we have looked at numerous times. So tonight, what I want to do is look at the fact that God's desire is that we be filled with his wisdom. In a spiritual sense, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, that we would live and be liberated according to the renewing of our mind. Renewing. God wants our minds renewed. Now, Sunday was major because one of the things I said about born-again believers And in the context of Hebrews 4 is the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick, living, is living, is alive. And it's going to bring back life. It's the implanted and grafted Word. It's sharp, it convicts, it's powerful, it's God's energy. Than any two-edged sword, the short sword, like a butcher flaying meat, taking the fat off the meat. God, the Holy Spirit, is cutting away our emotions, our intellect, and our wills from the old nature. That is a progressive undertaking. It doesn't happen in a year, 2 years, 4 years. That could be 20, 30 years. God is constantly cutting us away from what? From the dominion of sin. I want you to hear this, because Paul said in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. So what does it mean for God to cut away us from the dominion of sin? Well, I don't have to obey it anymore. I have two natures now. I have two capacities. I have two operations. And we went over that Sunday. The fact of the matter is that God wants to enlighten us, and he wants to enrich us, and he wants to enable us, and he wants to educate us in this matter of Christ's perfections. He wants us in his perfect will. So what Paul begins to do, and tonight I'm going to look at these things that I think is so apropos. These things that are just so apropos, that first, I call it the four tops. Four tops. I ain't talking about Levi, no, but the first is unity. The second is purity. The third is harmony. And the fourth one we won't get to is victory. So what God is doing?
Do you know what you're doing, man?
So what God is doing, thank you, is that God wants us to walk, live in unity with the Spirit. Now, one of the things we're going to discuss tonight are what are the things that internally combat this will of God? What is it that we tend to do or be or think that fights unity? So here in chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, we already looked at the characteristics, and he tells us the characteristics of unity is that you begin by walking, verse 2, with all lowliness, humility. If I stay humble, it's hard for you and I to fight. Are y'all getting this? If I'm not humble, it's easy to fight. Okay? Only by pride, Proverbs 13, cometh contention. Only. That scripture fascinates me. God is saying the only way you start acting ugly is when pride is in the way.
Yes,
sir. Somebody has become lifted up. Okay? And so he's talking about characteristics, and we've been here before. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Characteristics that the Spirit wants us to maintain for the operation of unity. So what I did, Sister Arna, was we moved from the characteristics of unity, the operation, to a communion of oneness, verse 4, and I'm going to get on that. What are some of the things that tend to block our unity? And I'm not talking about you and other church members. I'm talking about unity, period. Your husband, your wife, your children, your neighbors, your co-workers, whatever. What is it that gets in the way of us being unified. Well, one is selfishness. Self will always divide a house. A house divided cannot stand. Are you getting this? When people get married, God did not sanction that you're not going to have some problems. But in maturity, you ought to negotiate and sit down and work through things so you do have peace. And instead, it's that negotiation. You're not going to think alike. I mean, you're not even going to like the same thing. And what we do here in St. Matthew's is try to be very honest with you, because most of the time, most of us are only concerned about the outward, not the inward. And we can be struggling inward with stuff that will affect the outward. Are y'all getting this? So if I marry you, we gotta, over time, we gotta start negotiating how we gonna coexist. Y'all hear that? It don't fall automatically in place. You know, so whether it's TV programs, food, who's going to do what, you know, the task, how is the home going to be, you know, held together, what kind of values, and God forbid if kids come along, how to raise the kids. I mean, you got a lot of stuff to negotiate. It's not automatic. It's never automatic, okay? And so that it's that negotiation that the world keeps feeding us this message that if I have the right one, my soulmate, I don't have to go through all that. He's lying to you. Well, I must have married the wrong one because we just don't get along. No, you don't get along because you trifle.
you don't get along because you don't want to do the legwork. You don't want to pray together. You don't want to identify problems and then try to negotiate through them. That's what makes relationships work. Okay, it's a willingness to resolve issues. Conflict resolution. You know.
And you say, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, you don't have to hurt their feelings, but you got to sit there and be honest. Baby, can I talk to you? Sure. Well, I think your mother come over here too much. Every time I look up, mom will give her a key. You know, and so you got to, take a roundabout route to get there. Like, in the name of Jesus, it's deep. And there's some things I laugh because when me and Sister Gloria got married 31 years ago, I said, now listen, I'm not going over your families every Thanksgiving. There's some, I cook, there's sometimes I want to stay at home. And 31 years been going down there. So what I do is, I make my own turkey, my own stuffing, my own greens. I got on a stove. Because I'm going down there and watch maybe 15 minutes of football, and I'm out of here.
But these are things, and, you know, so we had to negotiate, because she likes spending time with her family, and that's when they all come together. So I had to be understanding and not selfish. Selfish. Are y'all getting this?
So you gotta make adjustments in marriage, in relationship. You just can't have your way on everything. Amen. You know, and selfishness is one thing, and suspicions will break unity. Mm. If you're I'm a suspicious person. Breaks unity. I got up 7 something this morning, go to a dentist. Up in Audubon, and I'm sitting there. They don't open at 7:45. I was there at 7:00. So I decided to get out of my car and about 7:15 and stand at the door because I want to be first. So a all these cars start pulling up there at 7:30. So this lady got out. She says, "How you doing?" I said, "How are you?" She said, "You didn't have to get out your car. They know you was here first." I said, "I ain't phone with because I'm not in the mood. I don't want to, you know, I don't need no extracurricular activities at 7 o'clock in the morning. I want to get in and out." But you know, I could see she was trying to be very cordial and kind, but I hadn't had my quarter of coffee. So I didn't want to talk to her. I just, you know, kept looking the other way. You know. Now if she said, "I'm going to hell," I would say, "Well, let me tell you about that."
But other than that, you know, other than that, so
we have all these idiosyncrasies. You're one way in the morning, and you may not be, you know, and all of this is involved in how we unify with other people, right? How we unify, and then some of us are like, "Well, that's just me. That's the way I am." But you got to break that, you know. And so, selfishness, suspicion, and their slickness, the other things that kind of break up unity. In my sermon Sunday, I said, "Association leads to assimilation. Assimilation leads to attachment. Attachment leads to agreement." Everybody I ran with, we agreed on something. That's why we were running together, right? So the Holy Spirit comes along. He wants to detach. He wants to, he wants to de-emphasize agreement with Satan, the world system, and so forth. So there's a process of cutting away from our emotions and our old nature. And I am really astounded how much the Holy Ghost have cut in my life.
Amen.
Now, the sin is still there,
amen,
but the sin doesn't have dominion over
it. Amen.
Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
Praise the name of Jesus. Sin doesn't have dominion over me. So therefore, as I begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, other things begin to take place, okay? That I go out of town, or my wife goes out of town, she ain't got to worry about me running up down the street. That's old stuff that the Holy Spirit has cut out.
Right.
I don't have a need for that.
Yeah.
Are y'all understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the thing is that Paul gives us these characteristics. In verse 4, he gets to this oneness. This is unity, not uniformity. Now, what is uniformity? Uniformity is when all y'all look alike. See, in the military, we had to be unified and uniform. Everybody wore the same fatigues, everybody wore the same boots. Come on, right? Well, God has not asked you to be uniform, he's asked you to be unified. And that's in spirit. So he goes on with the oneness. There's one body, the body of Christ, and one spirit, the Holy Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, or through Jesus Christ, one Lord, Kurios, that's Jesus, one faith. That's one pattern of doctrine. Well, let's hold up on that one.
So you got people saying, "Well, there are four positions on this." No, it's not. It's one. You're wrong in three areas. So, one faith, one doctrinal
layout of the Bible. Why would God put 10 positions in the Bible for you to study? There's one faith and one baptism, not water. We went over this, baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we are being placed by God into God, and God is being placed into us.
Amen.
One God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And so from this unity, Paul now moves, listen to this, to diversity. The diversity comes about with gifts. We all have different gifts. And I'm trying to verse 11, and some he gave some apostles. Now, are apostles alive today?
No.
Tired of folk calling themselves apostles. Apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus. And they were personally commissioned by Jesus. They're the pillars of the church. So if once I call myself apostle, that means I've seen it.
And he personally talked to me and said, Raymond Gordon, I want you to do this.
That's right.
There are no apostles.
He gave some apostles, are y'all with me? And some prophets. The prophets didn't foretell the future, they foretold the truth. Not somebody with a crystal ball. I was in the world, this girl said, let me see your hand. I'm going to read the lines. I said, read them, baby.
See if you can get this message. I want you. See if you can read that.
I was a real nut in the world, boy. I had a lot of fun. My God, today. So he says, thank you, Jesus. Prophets and some evangelists. Again, the gifts are in the neuter in the Greek. Men and women got the same gifts. Evangelists preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and get people saved. Okay? And some pastors and teachers. Pastor teachers are dual gift. You've got to have the gift of teaching to pastor, but you don't have to be a pastor to teach. Are y'all getting this? So every pastor is equipped with a teaching gift, if God called you to pastor. You say, well, how do I know I have a gift? Well, if you teach and everybody sleep, you ain't got it.
Everybody. What'd he say? You ain't got the gift. Just chill out.
But what we do here at St. Matthew's, and I'm just doing this, we put gifts in three categories: speaking gifts,
and that's your apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, the admonishment one, which we call slipped my mind. You got speaking gifts, and then you have serving gifts. This is where we get our word minister and diakonos from, deacon. Deacon and minister are servants to the body of Christ. Serving gifts, you got faith. You got giving. You got mercy. And it goes on. There are about 19 gifts of the Holy Spirit that pastor believes in. And you got serving, and then you got sign gifts, which I don't believe are in place anymore. Sign gifts are miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and things of that nature. Now, don't let this hem you up. I don't know what your background is. You know, I don't, as long as when I'm preaching, you ain't out there like the car Honda, going Mahonda, Mahonda, Mahonda. You know, if I'm preaching, stay away from the Hondas. But my point is that you got to look at the purpose. The purpose of miracles was to authenticate Christ. Right? And the purpose of tongues in Acts 2, glossolalia, was to have Galileans speak in all languages fluently. And the interpretation was, Paul said, I'd rather you preach than to, without an interpreter, speak. So those gifts were temporary gifts in Acts until the canon was finished. When the word was finished, there was no use for them gifts. So that's why we say sign gifts were temporary. Now, people will argue and say, I don't believe it. I ain't going to spend my time doing that. But speaking, serving, sign, I believe 19 of them, And we've already differentiated in this church was what?
So the gifts are in the neuter. Here's where we make our mistake.
The offices is in the masculine. There's only two offices, pastor and deacon. God did not call a woman deacon.
Amen.
God did not call, leave it alone. Leave it alone, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Some like them fat, some like them tall, some like them short, skinny legs and all. I like them bald. I like them fine. And when they walk, you know they draw a crowd. You gotta have a woman for me. Popcorn. So all I'm saying to you is, I don't want to start no trouble up in here, but trustee is not in the Bible. Stewards are in the Bible. Pastor, deacon are the only two offices in the Bible, in the New Testament. All right. This does not say that women are not capable or women are not intelligent. It has nothing to do with that.
That's right.
In fact, Paul tells you why God does this, 1 Timothy 11, because man was first formed and not the woman. It has to do with the genealogical thing, that God is saying that the man takes on the headship of government, church, and so forth. So I, you know, and listen, I'm to the point now, you don't want to believe, don't.
That's right.
Let's move on. And there's some women pastors that preach better than men pastors.
Amen.
They do. If you want the word, we'll teach you the word. If you don't want the word, then you can
hook up what you want to hook up. That the bottom line is, he deals with that diversity of gifts under the unity of the Spirit. And so God is full of order in this matter of unity. Now, when unity breaks down in your life, typically, what is the cause?
What is the cause? How about this? Disagreement. Right? When we disagree, everybody's not mature enough to walk away and say, well, we just don't believe the same thing. Right? What else causes us to become disunified? A house divided cannot stand. Trust me, it can't. Cannot stand. All right, so what are some of the things that, and in your marriage, automatically you're going to disagree with each other on things. That's okay, as long as it doesn't become disruptive, right?
Amen.
I told you, Sister Gordon is a functional eater. She eats to stay alive. What a bore. I eat because I love eating. I love good food, man. And after I eat a good food, we eat for different reasons. You ain't put me on no lettuce diet. Celery and carrot. I ain't eating that stuff. It's for rabbits. Ain't for me.
Without grease, the people perish. You know, and so we respect each other enough to know. You understand what I'm trying to say? My point is that our unity gets broken up because we become selfish. Got people in this church selfish, my way or the highway. So that's something. What's wrong with the mic?
Oh, okay. Is that what you was trying to say? Well, you did like this. I thought you were talking about. I thought you were talking about smoking something.
So anyway, move right along. Okay,
she up there going like this. I ain't seen that in a long time. Anyway, move right along. He deals with unity, and then secondly,
what's the second?
purity.
He deals with purity. You're going to get quiet now. How do Christians become pure? Major battle. Major battle. Because we don't feel what God feels. We don't think what God thinks. So when you get to 4:17, are you with me? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, unbelievers, walk in the vanity, the emptiness of their mind. All right? Now, typically, our sins are in three categories. You have spiritual sins, sexual sins, and social sins. And in every list that Paul taught, these three were involved. Spiritual sins are those things that we do and say that sin against God. Okay? And of course the sexual stuff is pleasure-driven, hedonistic. Okay? And then, of course, the social sins is us offending each other. Have y'all got that? So, when God talks about purity, he's talking about all three. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. They came to Jesus and asked him a question. So what do you say the commandments are? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law. And we don't love our neighbor. And we don't love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. We really don't. So, one of the things that purity does, purity, God comes along and begins to identify the impurities in our lives so that he can start moving on them. Look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. All right, and so Paul talks about deceitful lust, and in verse 22, he metaphorically uses our walk, our life, as getting dressed. Put off this and put on this. So let's look at that. He says, that ye put off concerning the former life, the old man. Now let's stop. What was it about your former life, your old man, that God wants you to put off? Anybody got any hands up in here? Well, everything was based within myself. Me, myself, and I. Okay? Everything came out of a paradigm of pleasure. Everything was about pleasure. Messed up. Put off these deceitful lusts and be renewed in the what? In the spirit of your mind. Are y'all? That's verse 23. And then put on the new man. For God to tell Paul, put off and put on, denotes that we have power to put it off and put it on. Right? We have the power of the Holy Spirit to make a decision to say, I'm not going to do that. Put it off, put it on. I was amazed how much strength I received when I got under the word and became yielded to God. Yes. Even against my flesh. Put it off, put it on, habits, history, hindrances, put it off, put it on. You don't have to do this anymore. My God. Put it off, put it on. I came home on leave. I came home on leave probably in 69 before I went overseas.
And I went around my aunt's house in South Philly. My mother was there, my aunt, her sister, and some of her friends. And so my mother said, oh, he's home here. So my mother said, walk her home. One of her friends, walk her home. So I said, okay. And I've always called her Mrs. and stuff. So we walking home. So as we walking home, she had a little too much to drink. And she started rubbing me. She said, boy, you have really grown up. And I love it. Now understand. I'm a whoremonger. So I didn't need no interpretation. I'm sitting there looking at this woman. So she put the key in the door. She went around the corner. And he had to go up these steps in his apartment. And I said, are you okay? I'm very bouncy. Aren't you going to come up and see me safely? I said, So I walked up the steps. That's how I'm scratching. I walked up the steps. And I got to the top of the steps. And she said, see my bedroom? I mean, she couldn't see nothing. And I said, okay, as long as you're okay, I'm out of here. If my mother had ever found out, they'd have been wrong. But my point is, my old nature couldn't cross that line. You understand what I'm saying? I just couldn't cross that line. And the thing is that I crossed every other line, but I crossed that line. And so when I got saved, I started looking back saying, boy, God has really given me a superabundant strength to recognize stuff and to move away from it. And I wasn't saved then. I mean, when I was in the military, I wasn't saved. But my conscience, my alarm system, was such the way I grew up. Respect your elders, get up and stand. All right. Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
So we struggle between the natures when we get saved. We struggle with pleasure. What are some of the pleasures y'all struggle with?
Can I get a witness?
Marvin Gaye said. What are some of the pleasures that we struggle with? Anybody? Now's the time to come out. I'm sorry, we're saying TV. Alright, TV. What are some of the other places we struggle?
Money.
Money? Yeah, alright. Praise God. Alcohol. Okay, alcohol. I drank old granddad, 100 proof. Loved it. What else? What did alcohol do for you? Who was that that said alcohol? It altered the way you had to face life, right? Right? What else? Good. Yes. Going out. Okay, going out. All right. And that got old. Every Friday night, the same old thing. You go to a club, you go to a cabaret, you sit down, you meet somebody, get their phone number. Now you hope you get rid of them. So what else? What else?
Gambling.
Okay, gambling. Yeah. All right. Notice all these are addictions. I have an addictive personality. I really do. What is addictive personality? Anybody? Excuse me?
No, I
did everything. Did everything for one thing, brother. One thing I didn't do. Get that straight. Well, I think the personality is that when you're exposed to certain things, and usually under the guise of pleasure, you lock into it. If you look at a family, and a lot of people in the family were strung out on drugs, that's an addictive, that's something that's probably in the history of that family. Alcoholism is in the history of the family. You understand? And sexual deviance can be in the history of the family. And the reason it's a learned behavior is because you witnessed it so many times that it becomes part of you. So if your father got drunk, and or your mother got drunk, so as you get older, you
you can very easily pick up that learned behavior. That's, so by the time we get saved, we got all these learned behaviors that's locked in, and some of our attitudes, we nasty, we want to fight, we're violent, you know what I mean? And a lot of this stuff is learned. We've seen it, and we've adopted it. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
This stuff is therapeutic.
That's right.
It's therapeutic. So, when we get saved, here comes the Holy Ghost saying, I got a catalog of all of your historical, all your historical sins, all of your addictions, I know about everything, and I am committed to cleaning it up and getting you on the street called straight where you can be Christ-centered. Hello. That I know as a pastor that if you were abused or raped or something like that, it's not that you can't be healed. You can be healed. It's going to be with some difficulty because now you've got this thing going on inside of you, and so usually the ones that's going to pay for that is your husband. Mm-hmm. Why? Because here comes a man into your life that had nothing to do with your past, but yet the past is still controlling stuff. So we need counseling. So you get counseling, and the counselor helps you to, you know, to work through our issues. We got issues. We got issues. And so I'm trying to be transparent with you to see that some of the stuff that's operating, still operating in us, has been with us for 30 or 40 years. But God is saying, the buck stops here. I'm gonna break this stuff up. Because you're saved, you belong to me. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm gonna change the way you think about things. The way you think. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. So, we struggle, man. We struggle. I mean, you look at Jack the Ripper, you look at anybody in history. I watch documentaries all the time. I watched a documentary on Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was messed up as a young boy. And the fact of the matter is that when you understand the history, why did he burn 6 million Jews? Well, in his history, he went to a college for painting. He was a painter. And they never accepted his work. And the people that never accepted his work in Germany were Jews. So he had an inborn hatred of Jews. There was a lot of things we don't know. And if somebody goes and view your tapes, they'll find stuff in there that explains why we are the way we are. And all of it's not on your parents, it's just exposure and experiences. You know, and so the Jesus said that he's gonna make you free. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. God wants to make us free from these bondages and all these habits and hindrances, so forth and so on. Are y'all getting this? Amen. That word and the Spirit of God, truth in the Spirit is going to clean up everything. Amen. All right? So he's dealing now with purity and in our purity, purity of mind, purity of my vessel, purity in my mouth. God is cleaning me up. God is cleaning me up. Any questions at this juncture? But we dealt with unity, we dealt with purity. Purity is a long track, man, because this stuff is wrapped around our soul. It's wrapped around our soul. It really is. Okay? And that's why I caution a lot of people into pornography, it stains your conscience. It's hard to get out. You're looking at pictures that take a deep root in your soul. And so that's why it's imperative for us to not only be in the Word, but be under the Word and let the Spirit of God metamorphosize us. Okay, metamorphosize us. Purity, purity of motive, purity of thought, purity, purity, purity. All right, third area is harmony. Are y'all with me? And by the way, look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Instead, be kind one to another, forgiving one another. Now, I'm going to have a whole session on forgiveness.
Amen.
Forgiveness is not you sitting up there with them crocodile tears and the words. I forgive you. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness necessitates that a sacrifice is made. When the high priest in the Old Testament bought an animal, they had to kill the animal before God could forgive you. Something's got to die before you can forgive somebody. So it's not as easy as the words we use and whatnot. And there are things in my life I thought I forgave, I didn't. I just put them away. Why? Because the things still bother me. Are y'all getting this? So the purity is important because, and you guys that are married, you need to pray for one another's purity. You need to pray for one another's unity. We all come from different backgrounds. We really do. And that has had a major impact on us. Christ modeled before the disciples righteousness. He modeled it. If you don't have a model in your life, if you didn't have a mother and father that modeled Jesus, then you didn't grow up with a model. Okay? And you can't turn this stuff on and off. More's caught than taught. For kids, what you think they didn't catch, they caught. You the one that's blind, they caught. And a child's security is not in having a mother and father. A child's security is seeing the mother and father close, tender, loving each other. Amen. That's their security. Not having, but seeing a lot of touching and hugging and kids need to see it. That translates into security for them at a young age. So if all the kids are catching is cussing through the house, then they come out kind of imbalanced. Are y'all getting this? D. I'm going to share something very personal with you. One time, me and Sister G had a blowout, and my kids was going up the steps. And I looked at her, and I said, don't argue with me in front of my kids. She kept going. I thought I was going to lose it. You know what happened on that spot? My mind went back 40, 50 years. I used to hate to see my mother and father argue because it was tearing me up as a child. That was my security. Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
Now that means I fast forward this thing 50 years in the future, but it was still bothering me. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? And so what tends to happen is that we relive stuff that happened to us years ago and don't even know who we live in. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, when two people get married, there's only four people get married. Mm-hmm. It's the two children and the two adults. So you say, well, I love the adult, but the child should have been on criminal lines. You know what I'm saying? I know the adult, but the child's messed up. So a lot of this stuff that we go through has a precedence. And when you go to professional counseling, the counselor is not trying to play God. The counselor is really sitting you down objectively and trying to pull out where we have gone wrong and why. And they start identifying stuff. So it's not all because, well, my husband's just mean. Well, he has his ways, but this ain't all on him. Well, my wife, this ain't all on her. And so this purity coming in then moves into chapter 5 of harmony. Are y'all with me? About being mimickers of God and walking in love. Now he's dealing with harmony as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. Now we're gonna wrap up. Harmony means everybody gotta stop fighting. Harmony means the white flag goes up, no more battles. Let's figure this thing out. Let me, in humility, allow unity, purity, and harmony to come together. The problem in our marriages is that you didn't marry the wrong one. You married somebody that's not always mature. And when we're dealing with immaturity, we can't move. Because it goes back to the selfishness. I just don't feel like this is what I want the rest of my life. I don't feel like you love me. I don't feel, if you keep a number on the word I. Wow. One of the greatest attacks I was under years ago, probably 22, 23 years ago, I was going into Philly to see my relatives, and deep inside of me, I felt unhappy. I felt discontented. You know, I'm driving up 42, and as sure as I'm talking to you, I heard the devil say, not an audible voice, but it was overwhelming. Are you happy? And that question almost made me crash. And the next minute, my cell phone rang. And it was an old girlfriend who I used to shack with. And she said, do you know what this is? I used to run with a cousin, her first cousin. He gave me my phone. Hey, long story. She said, let me ask you a question. Here it comes. Are you happy? I said, this is just too plain. I said, I'm happy as anybody else. She said, no, why didn't you and I get married? And boy, Slewfoot. By the time I got to the bridge, I was ready to take off my ring. he was so strategic, and I got the best wife in the world. He was so strategic, but he hit me and timed his hit perfectly. Now, she married some cop from New York, and the cop was beating on her, so she had her issues. She's from Virginia. Great, great young lady. But my point is, that's what Satan does for us. Amen. He waits for the right time. Boom, hits you. You can sit up there and surmise all you want. Well, let me see. You think this is God talking? No, it ain't God. Satan will always offer you an alternative to where you are. You gotta turn it down. You gotta rebuke it. You gotta trust Jesus. You gotta be still. You gotta be silent. You gotta let God be God. Because we got a lot of baggage on the inside. There's no way I would have been happy with that girl if I married her. That's why I left her. There's no way. But the imagery, are y'all getting this? The picture he's drawing is based on deceiving you. That's the whole picture he's drawing. He's trying to deceive you. And so one of the things that we need to understand is that as we close, unity, purity, harmony. When we get to the harmony, we're going to get to this marriage. It's deep. Wives, subject to your husband. Hupotasso, Greek word, get up under rank. He has the rank. Wives, husbands, agapeo, your wives. Sacrificially. Cover her. Love her. Because you are responsible for her.
That's right.
Amen.
See, we don't want to hear that.
Hallelujah.
You're responsible for it.
Amen.
When God tells a woman to submit, it's not out of a forced deal. It's because she wants to submit. You have loved her so much that she wants to give in. Now, y'all getting ready to go out the door, and some of y'all saying, well, therefore, I ain't submitting. So, in the name of Jesus, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I want to submit. Neighbor, I want to love. Neighbor, I want to lay down my rights. Let's stay on our feet. We love you. In the name of Jesus. If there's somebody here that wants to be saved, raise your hand. You want to give your life to Christ or join the church if they want? Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go through your word, it is enriched with freedom and power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord God, to learn that you may make us Christ-like in every area of our lives. And stop looking at the other person, but look at you, the author and finisher of our faith. Now humble us and help us to love everybody fervently. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor loves you.